This is a replay of the Wednesday night, December 20th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday nights, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. Please use them wisely. I need your votes. Here's the deal. You guys wanted a guilty pleasures list after our world's worst hit records. These are the records that you absolutely love, but are embarrassed as hell to admit you even like. Many of them share a commonality with the world's worst hit records, which is probably why you're embarrassed to admit you love them. But I need to know. Why? Because tonight I walked into the show with an 18-way tie. That's right. The top five, I can pretty much tell you at this point, unless things change in the next 2 months, what's going to be the top five. I'm not going to tell you, but I could. However, after that, anyone's bet. An 18-way tie. So I expect you to fess up to those songs that you absolutely love, but, you know, deep in your heart, you know that other people would make fun of you if you admitted it. So that's for tonight and tomorrow night. You can also do this by email, but email is questionable because I'm questionable with my email habits. I may or may not get your email. That's right. I may, just in a fit of frustration, delete them all. And this is why I don't do any of that paperless stuff when it comes to billing. All right, so you can do that up until, as far as email, Christmas Eve, because then I'll tabulate them all, and Christmas night, next Monday, Christmas night, we'll spend together along with Steve Bryan, who joins me. It's a tradition, and we'll count them down, among other things, telling stories, because after all, it in many ways is the culmination of the Raleigh James I Hate the Holidays Club. So if you are dreading the thought of Christmas, well, I can't help you Christmas Eve, because it falls when I'm not normally on the air, but Christmas night, I'll be here. All right, so that said, feel free to interrupt at any time with your guilty pleasures, please. I found this story and just absolutely baffled. I guess the first thing that surprised me was the woman thought of trying it. But the second thing that surprised me is nobody seemed to notice. Okay, so here's what happened. There is a woman who walked into a Waffle House as an employee. All right. Had her little duty hat on and all that kind of stuff. Worked there for over 2 hours. Absolutely no one else in the Waffle House noticed that they never saw before. As far as they knew, she didn't work there. Didn't say a word. There she is. She's waiting on tables. She's accessing the cash register. 2 hours later, when the till is somewhat full, she opens the register, steals all the cash, and leaves. Now, Waffle House is saying, we don't know how much she took. You're right. You don't know how much she took. So she's wearing the chains hat over a bonnet, looking very much like an employee, except absolutely no one ever saw her before. Wouldn't you normally think that the coworkers would have said, who are you? I wish there was a backstory there, but I don't have it. What I do know is that the police are wanting information on the woman's identity or whereabouts, and they have pictures of her online. But I looked at this and I said, how? You know, think of any situation where you have had a job of any sort, be it something very minor or something very major. Wouldn't it occur to you to question if somebody was there working alongside you and you'd never seen them before in your life? Well, apparently not at Waffle House. I guess it's so hard to come by employees, who's going to ask? And, you know, to an extent, I can almost believe that, because hard enough to get anybody to work. So, okay, she's working fine. Let's not say a thing. We also have a Mega Millions jackpot winner who is suing his daughter's mother. Yeah, I almost needed a diagram for that. And here is the deal. The guy is in Maine, and he won the $1.35 billion Mega Millions jackpot in January of 2023. He selected the one-time cash payment. That would be $723 million, and that would give him just over $404 million after taxes. So if you're wondering, $1.35 billion after taxes comes down to about $404 million. Still not chump change. And he was very concerned about being known for all the reasons you can imagine and maybe a few you can't. And so to protect his identity, he had the option of claiming the winnings under a trust, which is what he did. And so therefore the trust was not, you know, in his name. That would sort of defeat the purpose. It was in some anonymous name, and sure enough. But now you see what happened was, and all good stories start there, don't they, is that he told his daughter's mother about this with, before he did, her signing a non-disclosure agreement. Oh, he went all the way. He did not want anyone to know about this. So before he even claimed the prize, she signed the non-disclosure agreement requiring her to keep the lottery wins a secret until after their daughter turned 18, which wouldn't be until 2032, so another 9 years or so, to avoid quote-unquote irreparable harm or allowing the media or the public in general to discover his identity, physical location, assets, or anything about their daughter. And so the man agreed to provide this woman, the mother of his child, with support and ongoing security resources in exchange for her signing the NDA. And she did it. Which, who wouldn't jump at that chance? You're going to get money every month and all that. Well, then the idiot went and not only told people, she told the guy's family. Yeah. Now, under the NDE, she, the mother of the child, was required to inform him within 24 hours if she violated the agreement and the details therewith. Well, she didn't notify him of anything. However, in a phone call, she told his father and stepmother. And then they told his sister, and then she told the world. And so the bottom line is that the NDA was pretty much open and shut. It was pretty tight. And it talked about how unauthorized disclosure would lead to suffering and irreparable injury, and there's immediate and imminent danger, and on. So what he is asking, he's going to court, he's suing her. He's seeking at least $100,000 for each time she violated the NDA, as well as attorney fees and court costs involved. Now, where exactly this woman is going to get $100,000, unless he was prepaying some of this, I don't know. But there you have it, the length which people will go to keep their identity a secret after a big win, which I don't blame them a bit. And in some states, you can't do it at all. It's just public information. But increasingly, you would think that you did have the right to keep that a secret. And you know what's interesting, sadly, you might say, well, he shouldn't have told her. Well, this is the mother of his child. This is his income. It is going to impact whatever financial arrangement they have with this minor child. So I think that he probably did this upon advice of counsel, and it makes all the sense in the world. How the heck she decided she'd tell somebody is completely beyond me, but there you have it. So 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And again, if you want to vote for your guilty pleasures, I want to hear it. I might be persuaded to share with you some of the artists that are involved in the 18-way tie. But I, on the one hand, don't want to do that because it may influence your votes. And I really want these votes to be uniquely you. And of course, since it's a cumulative total, if you've heard somebody else vote for it and you secretly love it too, well, that's how it'll get on the list. So by all means, second it. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
took 100 pounds of clay. And then he said, hey, listen, I'm gonna fix this world today. Because I know what's missing. Then he rolled his big sleeves up, and a brand new world began. He created a woman and lots of loving for a man. Whoa, yes he did. With just 100 pounds of clay, he made my life worth living, and I will thank him every day for every kiss you're giving, and I'll thank him every night for the arms that are holding me tight, and he did it all with just 100 pounds of clay. Yes, he did.
Oh, yes, he did. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, thanks to Carol, the world's best show prep Ford, that request is what Ruth and Gurney wanted to hear. She said there were two and you played one of them already, which was Love Potion number 9. The other one was 100 Pounds of Clay. So, hey, you don't have to twist my arm to play Gene McDaniels. Happy to do it, 1961 on Liberty. Snuff Garrett produced, of course. So, 888-876-5593. I see you are answering the call. Yes, as we vote for the world's, well, not world's worst, world's best, I guess. Well, your guilty pleasures, the songs that you secretly love but are embarrassed to let the rest of the class know you feel that way. So we welcome Andrew from Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Wait, me?
That's already? You. Yes, you. It's you.
Yep. I'm on the radio.
You are.
Okay, so it's Indian true. Giver.
Oh, okay. Indian Giver. All right.
Yeah. I'm going to be laughed at it.
That's okay. That's all right.
Sugar, sugar.
Sugar, sugar. All right.
Simon Says.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yummy, yummy.
Yummy, yummy.
And, oh, God, no. Not going to be shot right out of town. I Want Candy, the Aaron Carter version.
Oh, not the Strange Loves?
Well, both of them, actually.
Yeah.
Man, it feels like I'm in confession.
Well, it is. It's sort of like that.
It's like I'm in,
only you know, I will. Like I will not, as penance, make you listen to things over and over that you otherwise don't like.
What's that term? Exonerating sins, absolving.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
atoning.
Yeah, you're not going to be. You're not getting out of this easy, no matter what.
No, but Oh yeah, well, I was going to say Max. Stop. That was my dog.
Okay, so let's stop. So, what is Max? What breed?
Mac, M-A-C. He's a 1 3-month-year-old Jack Russell Terrier and a pit bull.
A Jack Russell pit bull mix. Oh,
the other one is a 7-year-old full-bred pit bull.
All right, a Jack Russell pit bull. This is going to be interesting.
Oh yeah, he's 1 year and 3 months old, and he can jump so high he can almost reach the top of the door.
Yeah, don't tell your insurance agent about this, huh? So
no, not at all. But I was going through reading through a 1940 Time magazine for my research on daytime soaps, and there was an article in there, and it was interesting how there was talk. Oh, there was an entire section talking about FM radio. I haven't read it yet, but looking through some of these older ones,
oh, that's great.
Like, huh?
I say that's great. I'd love to see something from the 40s and their opinions on FM. That's terrific.
I know that at one point, FM was for television.
Well, no.
For television sound.
No, well, not really. The FM band is between channel 6 and 7 on the old analog VHF band for television. So that's why it used to be when you turn your radio down to 80, like 87.7 or whatever, if you had a channel 6 in your market, you'd hear it. So the frequencies just lie there between 6 and 7.
Huh.
But they're not there anymore.
I remember when I was a kid, there were, what do you call it? I remember people having these radios that had a TV section on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was common. In fact, until the VHF band sort of disappeared, well, not exactly, but we'll just leave it at that. Many of the Sea Crane radios had it. So that's not uncommon. Now, I don't know. There may be, but I don't know of any radios that had the UHF band, but I think there could have been. I don't know.
What were your thoughts on that, in the whole big switch thing? And if I remember when it happened, when they switched away from analog to digital for a television reception, I remember I was probably about 17 years old, and everybody said something different about why they were doing it.
They were doing it because they wanted the bandwidth. It's really as simple as that. But you know, the reality with television is that over the air is such a very small component, regardless, that it's almost a useless discussion. You know, I've told the story before when John was working at a television station in Philadelphia. They were off the air, and not one listener complained. Viewer complained. Well, why didn't they? Because they were watching cable, or they were watching Dish, or whatever. They weren't watching over the air. So, you know, that when we're talking about that switch, it doesn't impact that many people.
Interesting. I know at my favorite antique store in Chicago, she has one of the really old first generation portable televisions.
Okay.
It weighs a lot. I wanted to start collecting old televisions. but I'm also do I really want to rewire them so they can, you know, actually show something? Because now that, you know, it's all digital now, and I'd have to get a receiver for it.
Well, so right, exactly. But you could get an adapter as far as that goes. But you know, since 2009, stations have been required to broadcast exclusively in digital. So it's been a while, and this came 1996. Now I realize retrans took place later as well, but yeah, the old sets you're not going to be able to use directly, but you can absolutely get an adapter.
I'm doing my very, I think I'm doing a good job so far and not swearing.
Yes, you're doing well. Yes, after three times in one call earlier this month, yes, you've dramatically improved. We thank you for that.
The way my brain is wired, I really have to just slow down and think about what I'm going to say.
Oh, I know. The other thing is instead of
letting loose.
Right. And the other thing, of course, is to try to not swear when you're, you know, in other situations. I know for me, you know, years ago, I used to laugh and say, you know, the person that they're bleeping isn't the caller, it's me. But the only way to stop from, and I wouldn't even realize I was doing it, much like you did. But the only way to stop was to just curtail it when I was off the radio as well, so that it wouldn't be part of my speech. Because for the most part, almost all curse words just show that we have a poor grasp of vocabulary, because there's usually so many other ways that are better to emphasize whatever we're trying to say.
As a matter of fact, what I realized 5 years ago when I went to bury my grandmother back in Texas, uh-huh. You know, after living in Chicago just for even a year, no, even less than a year, mm-hmm. It was the fact that I had got so used to swearing as down south. You know, you can't swear as much at stores and stuff where if you are a customer and you swear a lot, people will say, please don't swear.
Right.
Or, you know, and I got so used to swearing that I didn't realize it. And,
that's what I mean.
And,
yes.
I also realized that there was also a dip in my vocabulary.
That's right.
You know, and it's coming back now. I mean, I think, vocabulary. When I read my old magazines from the 40s,
yeah,
I'm amazed by the vocabulary amount. When I was reading that article from 1940 on, they were interviewing Erna Phillips, and there were.
Hang on a minute. Don't go anywhere. This is going to be longer than I thought. So stay right where you are, and we'll find out what's going on in the world at large, find out about the news. We'll get some of your guilty pleasures, too. I see some votes coming. I'm glad about that. All that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
guys have come to you with a line that wasn't true, and you pass them by.
Pass them by.
Though you're in the center ring, and their lines don't mean a thing, why don't you let me try?
Let me try.
Now I don't wear a dime. I need it in this world. You are the one for me.
One for me.
Let me hold you in my arms, girl, and fill you with my charms. I'm sure you will see.
You will see.
The things I am saying are true.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, a little more Lala means I love you than I expected. But yeah, and that's for Stacy, actually. She said I could play anything by the Delfonics. And that's my favorite. And rarely is that the case that the big hit will be the one that I just cottoned to. But in that case, I do 1968 Philly Groove. All right. So I thought I bought dinner, but apparently I just rented it. All right. Now we're talking to Andrew from Chicago about something or other. I forget, Andrew. Where were we? Oh, yes. Cursing in Texas. So you're and vocabulary. Yeah. Yours will get much better the less you curse.
Yeah. I forgot what else I was going to say, so that'll be it tonight.
All right. Well, good to talk to you. Thanks for calling, Andrew. I appreciate it. All right.
Bye.
And especially thanks for the votes. Yeah, because we need some tiebreakers here big time. All right. So Chuck in Madison. Hey, Chuck, welcome back to WGN.
Hey, Raleigh. Still enjoying your show very much. I love the format that you're doing now, and I hope you take this as a compliment. But the very first talk show that I ever listened to as a little kid was Herb Jepko,
oh, yeah,
the Nightcast.
Absolutely.
And this format reminds me of that. You get your regular callers that call in, and it's very enjoyable. But anyway, did you hear on the news? I heard on the news this morning that about the lady who bought a $4 vase.
Yes,
and
yes.
Sold, you saw that. It sold for $107,000.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, $399. She asked the clerk, how much is this? $399. Okay, I'll buy it. Yeah, and man, yeah. Oh, man, nice six-figure haul there. Absolutely. So I got to ask, you were listening to Herb Jepko. Did you get your Nightcaps membership card so you could call in?
I was such a little kid at that time. No, I didn't do that. But anyway, the two votes I have is... I'm going to vote again for Love Potion number 9.
Okay.
And the new one, I don't know if anyone has said anything about this one, is Playground in My Mind.
Oh, Clint Holmes. Absolutely. Yes.
That's my two votes. I mean, I like that song, but I mean, I don't like it. It's kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do like it.
Yeah, no, so, no. Fine choice. No, I'm delighted that you called, and since you were a big Nightcaps fan, I'll tell you, more than once we've thought about bringing back Tinkerbell, but I don't think
really?
We will. All right, but thanks. Appreciate it.
Hey, listen, you have a good holiday.
All right, you too.
All right.
So, good deal. All right. So, yeah, Clint Holmes. He might be making his way up the charts there, I would say. But I don't want to give anything away. So, these are your I'm looking here to see. I think Clint Holmes now just went into the tie. It's now a 19-way tie. Well, swell. All right, but still great to hear from Chuck. All right, Kurt is in Wonderland. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, can I go by John Doe in Wonderland if I'm going to name these songs?
Oh, well, yes, if you want, but nobody else is listening. It's just you and me, I promise.
All right. My broken-hearted teenage self still likes Crystal Blue Persuasion.
I think that's a great record. So okay.
Yeah, I do too. Not everybody agrees with me on that, but and the next one, I don't know if this was ever a hit or not. This Boy by the Beatles was one of their first albums.
Absolutely, it was an album cut mostly, but you know, I mean, anything early Beatles was played to death, so we consider that a hit.
All right, and then one more by the Beatles is "And I Love Her."
Okay, all right. Not
so
bad.
That's it.
Good deal. Thanks. Appreciate that.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. You too. Yeah. No. Some of the early Beatles stuff I thought was great. You know, only when they got serious later about things. But yeah, things like "You Can't Do That." Those are fine records. All right. So 888-876-5593, 888-88-Raleigh. John is in Covington, Kentucky. What's up tonight, John?
Hi, Raleigh. Before we start, we'll get this guilty song out of my head. "Indian Lake" by the Council.
All right.
Okay, and then early days of television. Oh. I wasn't even in school yet. This is like 1961. My mother would do her ironing, and we would watch The Edge of Night. And
yes,
it was live TV, and the soap was called The Edge of Night,
yes,
as I said. And this woman, I don't know any care. Hell, I'm only like 4 years old at the time. Mm. Anyway, she had the stove, and it was a newer stove, I guess. The alarm, it wasn't, it had an alarm on it, and the alarm went off, like a analog clock, like type
great
thing. And the alarm went off, and she's reading these lines, not reading, but performing.
Right.
Yeah, and so she couldn't get the thing to go off, and she's a cameraman or somebody on the set snuck around, and they couldn't get it to stop either. So they abruptly went to commercial. I do remember that. It was The Edge of Night. And then the other thing I wanted to tell you was you were talking about Rodney Dangerfield, right?
Yes.
We were talking about him. Anyway, my favorite Rodney line is, "My wife, she wanted to have sex in the back seat of the car, and she wanted me to drive."
Right, exactly. Yeah, don't get no
that,
respect.
That was
yeah
great. That's the best one. And then I just leave you with this. We're getting into the type of the year where every time I hear that Tiny Tim say, "God bless us one and all," I always think to myself, what a little Dickens. I'll
you
see
did
you later.
You
Raleigh
did.
Thank you.
That's just terrible. But thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye bye.
Right. So I was looking to see, and I, of course, you know, nobody had a videotape recorder at the time, for the most part, viewers, and of course, live TV. They're not not preserving it, but there are blooper reels for Edge of Night. Now, they're more recent, like 1980, 1982, but they're still a lot of fun. But yeah, that's what I loved about early television, when it was just live, especially when it was live and local. It was just classic. And, you know, because that was just the way it was, whatever. There was no way to, you know, they didn't have a delay or anything like that. And so usually when things went really wrong, the host, whoever it was, just had to live with it. And some classic facial expressions over the years. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. So now we've got this 19-way tie, and I absolutely need to know about your guilty pleasures. Yeah, everybody's got them. Those songs that you dearly love, that you're embarrassed to think that anyone else would even know you liked them. That's and we'll do this, as I say, tonight and tomorrow night. And then after that, on Christmas night, live show, we'll play back your top 10. And I can almost guarantee that some of what was on the world's worst hit records will be on this too. And I haven't actually compared them A to B this year, but when I've done them in the past, it is always the case that the world's worst also become the guilty pleasures. But after all, we're dealing with hits. And as I say, whenever we do the world's worst poll every year, is remember, they're hits. Somebody loved these records. Somebody went out and paid money for these records. So and that's why we have fun with it, because, of course, if they were flops, it might be a heartbreak for somebody. But they're hits. They're laughing all the way to the bank. Why not? We got Jake, and Jake is in Skokie. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you, Riley. I was also going to ask, how do I get on one of those deals where you take a certain year, Billboard, I assume, and you give the name of the song, and then I have to tell you the name.
Yeah,
of the
well, that we do
artist.
That we do that every Monday night on Monday Night Trivia, and sure, you can pick out the day, the week, the year, and you know, it can be Billboard, it can be Cashbox, you know, whatever floats my boat at the moment. But we do the top 10. We see how you do.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm usually pretty good at that stuff.
Oh, good, good. Well, what years do you specialize in?
Well, I don't know. I've been good at anywhere from slightly, let's say 1964 to 1980.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I got every one of those charts right here. So, sure, absolutely. Any Monday. Yeah. I'm not sure that this coming Monday, since it's Christmas, that we'll do it for sure. But but if you called, I'd do it anyway. But otherwise, normally Monday Night Trivia, that's always an option.
Okay. And what do I call it? I just explain the way I did.
Just say, I want charts. You know, John will know. I want to do charts. Yeah, because some people pick lyrics, things like that. You can pick anything you want. Heck, Johnny D. in Youngstown picks hominids. And which obviously has nothing to do with hominids. Yeah, he's an expert at hominids. Like I say, everybody's got to know something about something. So no category left unturned.
Well, I get a kick out with hominids. There's a word that's called anthropoid, and what that means is you can have an anthropoid human, which means a human that acts like that's like an ape. You can have an anthropoid ape. It's like a human, so that's a kind of a neat word that covers it both directions.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of neat words when it comes to the hominids.
So you're
going to give me your songs. Your guilty pleasures.
Guilty pleasure is the rain, the park, and other things.
Oh, the cow sills. Yes, okay.
I think that was so well produced.
Yeah.
And it just was so well done, and it's just not my kind of music. You know, I'm more Hendrix or something.
Yeah, well, interesting. Yeah, and that would be about the same time. But actually, MGM sunk a fortune into this, and they not only produced the record, but they had parties in virtually all of the top 50 markets where they invited the program directors to hear the cow sills in person, and they plied us with alcohol, which I didn't drink, and hors d'oeuvres, which I did eat, and you know, all that. I mean, they spent a lot of money on this. The cow sills were supposed to be the Partridge Family, but when Hollywood saw the cow sills and got to know the family, they said, "No, I don't think so." And so,
they couldn't act.
Well, that was not one of the big problems, but that's right too. But in any event, they decided that was going to be a little raw for television, so they came up with, of course, the Partridge Family. But yeah, the Rain, the Park, and other things—they sunk a lot of money into that record.
Oh, okay.
So it's good.
Well, it paid off, I guess.
Yes, and there
the one of the cow sills. Years later, died in Katrina.
Yes,
Brown.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
And then one of them, much earlier than that, I mean, maybe right around the time of the Rainier Park and other things, got kicked out of the band for smoking pot.
You're right. Yeah, well, the father was a tyrant, but it was Barry who died. Oh. Barry died.
Oh.
And but yeah, it was a dysfunctional family, to say the least. But I agree. They did a lot with that record, and I'm glad you like it, and I'm sure everybody at MGM would be thrilled to know it. So call me again. I can't wait to do charts.
Oh, great. Thanks. And now that I have the correct phone number, I had two numbers, and I didn't know which one was right.
This is it. So found it.
This is the right one.
All right. Thanks.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
all right.
888-876-5593. That's 888-ROLLYE on WGN Radio.
See how the fluffy clouds move by us.
See how the clouds move by.
See how the morning mist can hide us away.
Hide us away.
And how the day is so much fun. Isn't it groovy in a daydream? Doesn't the day seem like it could never end?
And so, my friend, we're one.
You're beside me, we have
fly. Oh, we can fly.
WGN Radio, I'm Molly James, and that's the Castles before the Rain, the Park, and other things. 1967 on MGM. We Can Fly. Yeah. So they and of course Indian Lake was after the Rain, the Park, and other things. So you might have missed We Can Fly because I'm not sure more than 20 stations played it. But nonetheless, that was the deal for. I think they re-released it actually in '68 again. Why not? I figured they got to come up with something because they didn't have a whole lot of stuff. And then they did Hair, which I'm sorry to say was a hit. I'm very sorry to say. In any event, yeah. So we're gonna get to Julie in Atlanta right after the news. Yeah, the 12 Days of Christmas. That would be Agnes Holstein, and we'll review some of that perhaps. So all that and more coming up. We got another hour right here, and 2 hours. What am I saying? Don't shortchange myself. I got 2 hours and a 19-way tie. Now what are you gonna do about that? And again, full show Christmas night Monday, and that'll be at 10 p.m. Central as usual. And we'll count them down, talk to Steve Bryant, and have a good old time. So if it's ho ho hum to you or worse, we'll be live, and we won't even mention the C word. I promise. Christmas. No, we'll avoid that entirely. Although I keep threatening to do it, and maybe I got to do it either tonight or tomorrow night. Play my favorite Christmas record because Carla Thomas, Gee Whiz, It's Christmas. I'd like to play that in June, but everybody looks at you funny, so maybe I'll get that in. And more coming up on WGN Radio.
We'll be right back.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, yeah, Sam and Dave at their finest. Hold on, I'm coming. Paul in Buffalo Grove wanted to hear that. It is the Raleigh James Show on WGN, and we're here for the next 2 hours. And talking about your guilty pleasures. Yes, those songs that that you love but don't want anyone else to know about it. And this is the poll you've asked for. And I'm happy to do it, but our 19-way tie is somewhat disconcerting. But I have a feeling in the next couple days we'll break that. And that's all we got is the next couple days. All right, so we've got Julia, and she's in Atlanta. So welcome back to WGN Radio. How's it going?
Hi, Raleigh. Doing pretty good. I really enjoyed the 12 Days of Christmas that you read to me the other night.
Yeah.
And I was wondering how I can get a copy of that, please.
Well, you know, I've got it on little pieces of paper. And I've had this so long, the little pieces of paper have yellowed. It was written on, when I first typed it, it's so long ago that it was typed on a manual typewriter. That gives you an idea. But what what I can do is try to copy them all and send them to you. So I can do that. I'll just copy each page.
Sometime during the year. I mean, it's no rush, of course.
Well, no problem. Happy to do it. And I've had this thing for years and years. And every few years, I remember it and read it. So.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I could see it happening.
I know. Yeah, you can visualize it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's for sure. Can I second the Dancing Queen by ABBA?
Oh, absolutely. You like that, huh?
I do.
All right. Well.
Truly, duly. And if you put Alice in Wonderland on there, I'd like to second that as well.
Okay, well, then I can't put it on there, but you just did.
Oh, okay. Okay, wonderful.
All right, excellent. Well, thank you for calling.
Sure, thank you, Raleigh. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Good deal.
Bye.
Yeah, so maybe on Christmas night we'll review Agnes Holstein and the 12 Days of Christmas in case you missed it. So, yeah, so it never really gets old. We've got Dave in LaSalle. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi,
hey,
Raleigh.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, I got a couple things to run by you. You're looking for songs, tiebreakers, and stuff. I'm sure this one has been mentioned, and I agree with the person who called it Pink Shoelaces.
No, Dodie Stevens, of course. And by the way, the next bumper coming up is your request, Lee Allen, Walking with Mr. Lee.
Oh, my God. I got another one, too. Maybe I'll lay off that tonight if you're going to play that one.
No, that's all right. What's the other one?
Okay, here's two songs that I think belong on the worst song list. Dead Man's Curve by Janet.
Yeah, one of the, hang on a second.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's been one of those days. During the break, I've realized that I did not buy dinner, I rented it, and I've been returning it every break. In any event, I'll drink water here in a minute, and apologies for that. But yeah, death songs do very well, and,
again, when I say these songs, I don't have nothing against the artists, because some of their stuff I like. But this next song, it really annoys me when I hear it. I don't know what it is. Light My Fire by Jose Feliciano.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, see, you need to save these for next year when we have the world's worst hit records again. And
I probably should have.
Right. The poll will open on Halloween, a night of horrors, and the results will be played on Thanksgiving, a night of turkeys. But the more guilty pleasures you can give me, the better, because I've got a 19-way tie.
One of those. Mule Skinner Blues by the Fenderman.
The Fenderman, of course.
Yeah. I like the song, but I don't know how I brag about it to anybody.
No, that's perfectly fine. You know, it's
With all the hee-hawing and yelling in there and all that.
Sure, but you know, it's cold in winter in Minnesota, and they don't have much to really do. So
I'm in Illinois, so.
Yeah, the result is Mule Skinner Blues from the Twin Tundras.
Yeah. Now, a song I mentioned to you to play sometime, if you're going to be doing Mr. Lee, that's fine. Well, this is another instrumental, but it is also a vocal. You Can't Sit Down by Phil Upchurch.
Oh, absolutely. That's right. The Dovells, they gave it lyrics.
They did the vocals, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Actually, when you play it, whenever you do, I don't really care which one you play. I guess I prefer the instrumental.
Me too. Me too.
I just like, you know, I like that stuff. So, hey, can you tell me, Who who does your intro song? I love that. Who's that like?
You mean Doo 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 Ba Ah? That's Burt Keys.
Yeah. Who is it?
Burt Keys on Clock Records.
Okay, boy, I love that. I love that. I'm screaming in there.
Yeah, Burt was a producer and arranger of note, actually, and he wound up doing that one song on Clock Records, and he was terrific. He was responsible for a lot more stuff than you would guess, because he was George Goldner's A&R director for Rama, you know, great labels like that, and G and End, and he worked with like the Crows, and you know, then he was Laverne Baker's pianist on Atlantic.
Oh, yeah.
And Willie Bobo and Timmy Euro and Billy Bland and, you know, some Nat King Cole stuff, too. He arranged Mockingbird for Inez and Charlie Fox.
Yes.
That was his. And he wrote a lot of stuff, too, like more recently, Love on a Two-Way Street by the Moment. He and Sylvia Robinson wrote that. So, yeah, he was quite the musician, and sadly died only 56 years old in the 80s.
Well, yeah. You know, when we asked for some of these songs for you to play, is it all right if we mention like something from older songs?
You can do anything you want. There aren't any rules. You can do anything you want.
Yeah. I don't know how many people are around that you might listen to these with. Well, I like Tony Bennett stuff once in a while. I like a song you did. I want to be around.
Yeah, well, sure, that was a big hit. The pop standards are fine. Some of those 1952 was a great year for pop standards. You know, you had all that wonderful stuff, James and Joe Stafford,
Joe Stafford. I loved Joe Stafford.
Right, Buddy Clark. I was a big Buddy Clark.
Yeah,
fan. Yeah.
Harry James.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, so that's all fine. Sadly, the pop standard vocalists never get their due because it's sort of between big band and rock and roll. And a friend of mine for a while started a Hall of Fame, but when he died, so did it. But
I love that stuff. I love some of the big band music, you know. But I just thought, is it all right to ask for one of those once in a while?
Sure. I've got most of them. So
okay,
sure.
I'm sure you do.
All right.
Okay.
Good deal.
Now I have one little quote I can give you for people that are having one of those days. You have them and I have them.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, it's just told to me a long time ago to lighten it up. Some days you're either the dog or the hydrant.
Oh, it's absolutely true.
How about it? There's days when you just picture it, right? Which one are you?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you betcha.
Well, try not to be the hydrant too much.
Well, yeah, I guess not. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Hey, I love your show, and I'll be listening.
Great to hear from you. Thanks. We will get to Walking with Mr. Lee, and then we'll get to Fill Up Church at some point, too. And, I definitely like the instrumental better than the Dovells. Although, you know, there's a lot of stuff on Cameo Parkway that was very credible. Maybe not that, but, okay, so 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. And Sam is in Gurnee going to vote for me. All right, Sam, what you voting for?
Hey, Raleigh, how are you? I was, you know, I'm calling in on this Worst Song deal, and I honestly don't know the original artist on it, because I know it was covered by a few people, but it's, in my mind, it's got to be Someone Left the Cake Out in the Rain.
Oh, MacArthur Park. Do you love it?
There it is, God, no.
No, well, see, that's it. We finished the World's Worst Hit Records, and now we're on to Guilty Pleasures. These are the records that...
I'm sorry. I thought you were still on
the
bad number.
After the World's Worst Hit Records, every now and then I'll get requests for this, and several people this year said, you got to do Guilty Pleasures. And so what those are, and because the reason for that, by the way, is usually the stuff that's on the World's Worst Hit Records also winds up on the Guilty Pleasures list, because after all, they are hits. But
I misunderstood it. I apologize. Yeah. I'll have to chew on that and call you back.
Yes, I hope you will, because like I say, right now I've got a 19-way tie, so we're trying to break that.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
This is a good one. All right, thanks.
All right, good deal. Yeah, and you know, not only do you like it, but you're embarrassed that you like it. You don't want anybody to know you like it. That's what makes it a guilty pleasure. Yeah, might have a little bubble gum in it or something. All right, Laurie in Chicago is going to give me some votes. All right, Laurie.
Hey, Raleigh, I got four guilty pleasures. And then I didn't get to tell John a website I wanted to go on. So anyway, whatever Lola wants.
Okay. All right.
And there are two versions of that. I think you know it. One by Sarah Vaughan and one by the Hit Parade Singers.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the album called For Men Only.
Yeah, we're going to go with Sarah Vaughan for that.
Okay. And I've never been to me.
Oh, my God. No, 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 no. No, no.
Is it a tiebreaker?
I think you're the first person to suggest it.
Oh, you're kidding.
I think so.
Natural Man by Lou Rawls. And Torn Between Two Lovers.
No, 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 no. I mean, perfectly fine to like Natural Man. That's upstanding. But Torn Between Two Lovers. No, no. All right. Good enough. I mean, somebody bought it. God knows I had to play it over and over and over again. Okay.
What year was that anyway? 82?
No, no. Torn Between Two Lovers was either 77 or 78.
Okay.
See, I know that because I know the radio station I was on at the time. See, I can kind of narrow those down.
And it wasn't here, was it?
No, no. It was actually WIBC in Indianapolis, I think. And now I got to look it up to make sure I'm right because after all, the mind at this point. But I'm pretty sure it was IBC where I just used to hear that and say, you know, I gotta change jobs.
But, you're the most traveling DJ in the world.
No, actually I'm not.
You started out in L.A., and then where'd you go?
Oh, no, I've been in 32 cities, but that's not the most. In fact, in Broadcasting Magazine in the 50s and 60s, when they would have ad for disc jockeys, very often they'd put at the bottom of the ads, no floaters nor drifters need apply, because so many of us went to so many places. And so by the 60s, the status symbol of a disc jockey was if you owned your own U-Haul.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That was the deal. If you and, you know, I'm certainly...
And you didn't.
No, I didn't. I called moving companies. But and
oh, my God, you did it the hard way.
Yeah, no, I did it the easy way. I just sat back, relaxed, and paid the money. But I'm looking for this Mary McGregor record, and where is it here? And I remember on
you the, have to organize your records. That's what
no,
you got to
no,
do.
No, there's no way to do that. Absolutely not.
Yeah, there is.
No, it depends how many records you've got. When you're dealing with over 100,000, it gets a little different. In any event,
because you can go from the earliest records. Through the late 60s.
Yeah, no, no. 77, by the way, for Mary McGregor, 77. Yep.
Okay.
WIBC, that's what it was. There were a ton of really horrible records around that time. I remember them all.
I can imagine you do.
Bob Welch, Sentimental Lady. Oh, God.
Don't you like that?
No,
oh,
I hate
my
it.
God.
I hate playing that. Let's see. I didn't mind playing, for whatever reason, Toby Beau and My Angel Baby, but after playing it over and over and over, I started to question that, too. So, yeah, there's a bunch of them. Anyway, that was dear old Bob. That was around the same time. So, anyway, what else? What else you got for me?
Okay. There's a website, 1160HOPE.com, and there are two banners that we can all give to that are at the top of the homepage on the website. I don't have a computer, but they say that on the radio station, 1160WYLL.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Talking about an AM radio station.
No, no, not the station. What's the website have to do with?
The website, you can look up a way to send Bibles around the world and a way
okay.
to send food to the poor.
I'm sure there are a number of ways to do that. I would ask everybody to find charities where they know personally what's going on, maybe through their own church or whatever. Be very careful online.
Oh, this isn't online, just on the radio station.
Okay, well,
I don't have a smartphone.
Well, very good. So, all right, Lori, anything else?
No, that's it for tonight.
Well, thank
tomorrow
you.
Night will be requests.
Well, good. Well, yeah, but what I really want tomorrow night is think more of your guilty pleasures, because we want to break these ties.
Yeah, you have to say what all the ties are.
No, I don't want to do that, because that'll sway too many votes. So just think about the ones that you really love, that you don't want anybody else to know, that you secretly love it. You know, if you've got something maybe in your case, maybe you've got a Led Zeppelin favorite. So whatever it is, you let us know.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah. So, because after all, if she wouldn't be embarrassed about Sentimental Lady, we're not going there. Our 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And I'm going for more water right about now. And then we'll come back, get some votes from Fran, and hopefully some votes from you too on WGN Radio. Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's what Dave wanted to hear. Dave and LaSalle, Lee Allen and his band, Walking with Mr. Lee. Happy to play it. We'll get back to Fran and her votes. Hopefully your votes, too, coming up. Going to find out what's going on in the news right now on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's Timmy Euro. What's the matter, baby? Is it hurting you? And that was a request. It was Jan in Dallas who wanted to hear that, and a fine song it is. Clyde Otis wrote it and produced it, but it was arranged and conducted by Bert Keys, who we were talking about earlier, on Liberty, of course. And, Timmy was just tremendous. 1962. All right, so 888-876-5593 and True Confessions. I'm trying to get through the show. And, John, of course, is saying, stop now. Yeah, right. And we'll see. But hopefully it's still entertaining. And more so if I just plump over and die. But I'm not expecting that. I just, whatever. Fran and Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Well, I can empathize. I'm having one of those stomach nights myself. So.
Oh, man, I tell you. And I just don't know what's burning my throat in the process.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, when I get that, because I get really, really bad stomach acid. Sometimes the next day I can hardly talk. But
well, you know, I'll tell you, in my life, as I'm eating, I think to myself, here's how it is going down. How is it going to feel coming up? So I sort of qualify my food before I have it. And I just tonight, I just don't know what did it. But here I am.
Well, I don't think I'm going to be having another steak sandwich from this one place. I love their kind of like a chicken fried steak sandwich like Carl's Jr. used to have.
Oh, yes. Weren't they wonderful?
Oh, yes. I used to work there when they had those.
Oh, man. Yeah, and we're talking about late 80s.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember them well.
But this place here has them, and usually they're so good, and I don't think I'm going to get one for a long time because every time I think about it, and it doesn't taste as good.
Oh, yeah, right. Like I say, you know, you got to, as it's going down, think about how it is going to be coming up.
Yeah. Well, now that we've thoroughly grossed out your listeners.
Well, that's right. Exactly. Yes. Medical question box will be back right after this. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, let's see, some of the songs that were mentioned tonight, but I'm trying to think of them now. I like Simple Simon Says.
Okay, Simon Says, there you go. All right.
Let's see, what were some of the ones? Now, I cannot believe that Lori actually had the guts to admit that she likes Never Been to Me.
Well, I find that a little questionable myself.
But that's okay, you know.
Somebody must have. It sold a million copies.
Yeah, that's right, as you say. Somebody liked these songs.
I figured it wasn't to English speakers. I thought maybe foreign language people would buy that. But
maybe. I don't. I hate to say I like a Pat Boone song, but I like two of them, Love Letters in the Sand.
Okay.
And what is that one? I think it's The I Love, I think it's called.
Oh, God. Yeah, oh, no. Tell me no.
No, yes. I hate to. Yeah, well, there's songs I am ashamed to admit I like. But
no, that's absolutely. It's got, by the way, it's not To The I Love. It's got a name, and I'm trying to think of what it is now. Without that in the lyrics. Now, what the heck is it? What the heck was, Friendly Persuasion. That's what it was. Friendly Persuasion. Unfriendly Persuasion.
I was getting there, because I was kind of singing it in my mind. I was getting to the chorus.
Oh, I don't even know if the words Friendly Persuasion are in it.
Yeah, they're in one place.
All right, yeah. But that was it. Friendly Persuasion. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care for any of those, but I do admit there are Pat Boone records I like. I liked his version of July, You're a Woman, and I admitted that to Robert W. Morgan while we were driving on the PCH, and he threw me out of the car.
He threw you out of the car?
He absolutely, I mean, he slammed on the brakes, up practically through the windshield, get out! And oh, God.
Yep.
And, the guy who wrote it had been a friend of his, and a guy who'd been in the Kingston Trio, John Stewart. And I knew John Stewart wrote it and had a version of it, of course, but I said, you know, I'll tell you, I like the Pat Boone version. It was like, that was it. Yeah. Threw me out. So.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. I'm trying to think of some of the ones that were, because I could second some of the ones from tonight if you can tell me what some of them are.
Well,
if that's not cheating,
it is kind of cheating, and I guess I'm going to have to do that tomorrow night if we don't do this.
Yeah, okay.
But,
I was trying to remember some of the ones.
It's the things that you would guess.
I should write them down. I should just sit here and write them down.
Absolutely, it's the things you would expect, like Afternoon Delight and Billy Don't Be a Hero.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. Right.
Okay, well, I'll try again tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Try not to
write some down.
Yeah. No. Well,
Indian, believe it or not, Indian Lake.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
Is a scene you should make with your little one. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, all right. Yes, Indian
Lake. Even though I usually don't like those, like, Indian Giver and all that stuff with the boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. Yeah, that's on here, too. It's Indian Lake, I see. It might be climbing the charts. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Well,
appreciate it.
All right.
All right, good deal. Bye. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, and let's see what Karen in Chicago is going to vote on. So, Karen, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, I have a guilty pleasure.
Oh, good.
Even Alexa won't play it for me. It's your theme song, Doo-Doo-Doo-Ba-Ah.
No, Doo-Doo-Doo-Ba-Ah. Alexa will play that.
Is that, I can't, I must be saying it wrong or something, but you should hear what happens when I tell my friends that. They say, hey, what do you put in your coffee? Can I have some?
You're right. No, Doo-Doo-Doo-Ba-Ah, Bert Keys.
Yeah, that's what I did, and Alexa comes out with it wrong.
Really?
And says, I don't have that, but I can play other songs by Bert Keys.
They can? Like, well, I might want to hear some of those. But
I did, and on these he sings.
Well, no, I know he does.
Most of them.
Yeah, I know he does.
I don't, and I wasn't familiar with any of them. They were kind of nice. I kind of liked a lot of them. But yeah. I'm trying to get a particular, I love that chord progression in that song, and I want to hear the whole thing.
You know, it's interesting. I love the Bert Keys version on Clock, but it's actually not the first one I heard. When it came out, I was unaware of this record. I admit it. And what had happened was there used to be a guy on Wi-Fi in Philadelphia, the Diamond Mine, Ron Diamond, played these oldies. He was kind of like a Jerry Blabbitt type guy, but he had a slightly different music taste. Anyway,
okay.
He played it by a group called the Insiders. And so that's where I heard it. And I'll play you a little of it. And I thought when I heard it, I thought, this is really good. It sounds like it's a cover of something even better. And so, because, you know, I was always suspect on beach music and stuff like that. So I went to look for it, and that's how I found the original. But this was the first version I heard of it. So, yeah, that was what I heard, and I thought...
I like yours better.
Oh, yeah, well, no, the original is the greatest, of course, but like I say, when I heard the Insiders, I thought, I'll just bet you there's another version of this, and that's when I did a little research and found out,
I love that chord progression.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I'm going to join the Rotten Stomach Club tonight.
Oh, really?
Oh, man. And I have AFib, and when I get the acid reflux thing, and then the heart starts beating faster.
Yep.
Oh, man. It's time to go, guys.
Yeah, no. I relate to that. And with the missing heartbeats, I usually, I'm not really a cough. It's more like a bark that comes out. And so that's in the middle of, you probably relate to that. It's in the middle of that, too. So I'm barking and everything else.
I don't, like you, I don't know what I ate. I had a salad, grilled cheese, and a hash brown. I can't imagine what in the world could have. But holy cow! All of a sudden,
the grilled cheese could have done it because that's something that has a certain amount of grease content in it.
Oh man, it was nasty. Yeah. But I'm over it now. But
good.
It took me for a while, and I thought, gee, you know, I've got things to do tomorrow. Am I going to be okay?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting, by the way, when you look at the original 45 on Bert Keys, it has a writer down there, and it's supposedly written by Maurice Shapiro. I have a little I have a little trouble believing that. And the reason I say that is we're talking, if it's the same Maurice Shapiro, I don't know. Maybe there's more than one, but the only one I know was when it came to music. We're not talking about people who, you know, were working for the science program or anything like that, but because there were scientists and all that. But songwriter, I mean, this is a big deal, but we're talking like Shapiro Bernstein, and Maurice Shapiro died in 1911. So I figure,
oh my God, no,
it can't be.
It
obviously can't be. But yeah, but Shapiro Bernstein was just huge in terms of original songwriting and stuff.
Oh well,
yeah. So I don't know.
Heck, you like D-O-O, right? Do, ba-ah.
Yeah. Three do's and ba-ah. B-A-H and then A-H.
Why in the heck won't... But I love it. I just love that song. And when I tell my friends, you know, they'll say, what did you say? And I'll repeat it. And one of my friends said, hey, what are you putting in your coffee? Yeah, I right. want some.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I don't know.
I love it.
All right.
Okay, well, thank you so much. And thank you for sharing that with me. I love
Absolutely.
That song.
Oh, good.
I'm going to get Alexa to play it one way. Either that or if I typed it into YouTube.
I was going to say, it's on YouTube. You can get it on YouTube without a problem.
Maybe I'd be better off doing that.
Yeah, that's the easiest way to do it.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Well,
appreciate
thank you so much.
Absolutely.
And keep going. I'm going to be with you Christmas night.
Excellent. Looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to Steve Bryant.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah, he's great. So we'll have fun. All right, thanks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Have a great night. So, Bernstein took over when Shapiro died, and they did a number of things. And, I mean, they were big in publishing. I think their biggest song, though, it's embarrassing to admit, yes, we have no bananas. But they had a number of others as well. But so it can't be, you know, I'm just convinced. So what other Maurice Shapiro is there? Or did Bert Kies or somebody just put that down as the writer of the song? So I don't know. But that's do-do-do-ba-ah by somebody. Well, by Bert Kies. But as for who wrote it, we're never going to know. So 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Understand me like I understand you. Now, baby, I know the difference between right and wrong. I ain't gonna do nothing to upset our happy home. We only act like children when we argue, fuss, and fight. Hey, hey.
If you don't know,
if you don't know.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and those are Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, and that's for Pilot Dennis from Golden, who had requested that a while ago. I'm happy to play it. All right, so 888-876-5593. Going to get some votes, I do believe, here. Well, hopefully. And that would be from Valerie in Warrenville. Can't wait. All right, Valerie, let's have those guilty pleasures.
Hopefully I'm not repeating myself.
Well, yeah, no, you're supposed to know what you voted for. You can't vote on the same song twice.
Okay, I must have already done the Record of the Edmonds Fitzgerald.
I'm afraid you did.
I think I did Cats in the Cradle.
Mm-hmm.
House of the Rising Sun.
Okay. And by the way, Carol keeps track of this. If it were me, I wouldn't know if you said it five times, but she'll know every time. So we'll know.
Yeah. Dancing Queen.
Oh, God. All right.
Yeah, hey, I like the movie.
There was a movie?
Yep.
All right. What else?
The Night Chicago Died.
All right. Paper Lace. Okay.
Yep. And if there's Paper Lace that I haven't voted for, yes, please.
Okay.
Sundown by Gordon Lightfoot.
All right.
I was listening to an iHeart while I was listening to you and going, oh, I have That's one of my guilty ones. Okay, we got
to. Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because every now and then I'll scan the radio dial and I'll think to myself, who the hell listens to these stations? And now I know. It's Valerie in Warrenville.
Well, the only reason I even went on the iHeart, it was I was trying to sing Cats in the Cradle.
Mm-hmm.
I used to sing it back in the 70s under my breath. Because, at the time I didn't want to admit that I liked Jim Croce.
Uh-huh.
And Harry Chapin. And it was like, it wasn't cool in my circle.
I was going to say, what does Jim Croce have to do with this? But all right.
Oh, they're contemporaries.
I see.
Similar genre.
Uh-huh. All right.
And so, let's see. Simon Says.
No. Okay.
Friendly Persuasion.
Yep.
I don't think I did Billy Don't Be a Hero.
Okay.
Let's see. You're So Vain by Carly Simon.
Okay.
The City of New Orleans.
Okay.
And then I second anything by John Denver or Cher.
Nope, can't do that. Has to be individual titles.
Okay. John Denver. Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond.
You like that, huh?
Right. Right. Yeah, that was part of his the UK album of his greatest hits.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's the one that I owned for about 20 years.
I see. All right, what else? Quickly, yeah. I'm running out of time this hour.
That's it for the list for the moment. FYI, I was one of the people that had a TV band radio.
Yes, absolutely. Many people did. All right.
And I absolutely loved it. It was a great GE. It was absolutely beautiful.
Talk to you later. Thanks.
Uh-huh.
All right. So we'll pick it up right there next hour. We got another hour of this if I last, but hopefully I will, and hopefully you'll call on WGN Radio.
I've been to town, I've walked the highways and the harbors too. I've done some things I never thought I'd ever do. Now as I stand here looking down at you, you ask me why it is I frown. I guess it's 'cause I've been to town. I've been to town, beyond the boulevards and down the beach. I've learned some things that only time can teach. For instance, love is more than just a little speech. It's got to find a common ground. I know, because I've been to town. Don't tell me anymore. Can't waste any more years. I see my image in your eyes dissolve in disappointed tears. I've been to town. You ask me, do I know the Milky Way? I do. And furthermore, I'd like to say, it isn't milky white, it's dingy gray.
WGN. WFGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and if that was a hit, that would be a guilty pleasure for me. That's Glenn Yarborough. It's the flip side of Baby the Rain Must Fall, and Frank Sinatra had it as a quasi-hit, but something about the Glenn Yarborough version, just love it. And worse than that, talk about a guilty pleasure, it's written by Rod McEwen. I know, there goes any credibility I might have, but I just thought it was a great record. I love that. You ask me, do I know the Milky Way? I do, and furthermore, I'd like to say it in Milky White, it's dingy gray. Yeah, boy. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Elizabeth is in Rock Falls, so I got to ask, how's Mr. Chubbs?
Well, he's lost some weight again.
Yes, excellent. So what are you not feeding him?
He's eating ProPlan Weight Management Food.
Uh-huh. Good.
That asked me what I was feeding him, and he wrote it down. So.
All right.
But his whole body he's tested positive for Lyme disease.
Oh.
But he said he could have had it years ago, and once you test positive, you always do. So.
Really?
Antibiotics, in case it's recent. he's a good dog.
Yes, he is.
And he loves me.
That's right. Even more when you feed him. But yes.
He loves me when I feed him.
Yes. I'm sure that's right. Well, good. So he's on a weight management plan. Excellent.
Yeah. And the doctor told me, he says, I know he's probably not as smart as your standard poodle. I said, I know, but that little head is just full of love.
Aw.
I don't care if he has a lot of brains or not.
Well, that's just fine. And who knows? You know, I mean, we don't know what dogs are really thinking. And sometimes they might not be reacting the way you'd like them to because they just don't feel like it.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't either.
That's right. So let's give him some credit here.
I do. I really treat him well.
Good.
Guilty pleasure. I thought of, I think it was limited on some radio stations back when, Me and Mrs. Jones.
Oh, okay. Yes, Billy Paul. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Big hit.
I know.
Yeah. And all right.
It's the saddest song in a way.
Yeah.
Because of their yearning for each other, and it sounds like they can't be together.
Yeah, well,
all the time.
That's half the country songs that are made, so why not?
Mm-hmm. Was that a country song?
No, it wasn't, but that's what I mean is, you know, and you'll find, by the way, that country and soul lyrics are almost interchangeable, interestingly. Mm-hmm. But that said, I don't think too many eyebrows were raised, but I am aware that there was a certain amount of talk, but no, it didn't stop it from being number one.
Right.
Yeah.
And I watched the country western show, Christmas show, tonight on television, and I don't know, it wasn't country or western.
Oh.
It was performers singing all kinds of other songs. The only thing country and western was some guitars and fiddles in the background. But the songs they were singing didn't go with the music.
It's ever evolving, like anything else. And of course, when you say country and western, they're actually two very distinct things: country and western. Western swing, the Bob Wills kind of stuff, is a genre all of its own. And as far as country, it's been evolving, and I'd say certainly since the 50s, evolving much to the consternation of some people in Nashville and others to the delight, because of course, on the one hand, everybody wanted a pop record because they sold so much more. You know, a number one country record, if it's an album, maybe sells 20,000 units. If it's a pop, it's going to sell a million. So obviously the goal is crossover. But that said, most of the artists were not embracing of it when that would happen. And that was true in the 60s when people like Billy Sherrill and Glenn Sutton started adding strings and things like that. A lot of people got bent out of shape, called a country politan and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it evolved. And today, country today is, you know, just as different from what it was in 1950 as rock and roll is today. You know, you listen to the rock and mm-hmm. roll, or even you look and listen to the urban stations. You know, they don't sound like what you heard in 1959. So it's always evolving.
Always, always.
Yep.
And one thing on that show tonight, Brenda Lee,
mm-hmm.
now, at her age, sang Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. And she said, I made that record when I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
And it didn't go anywhere until it was on Home Alone. And then it just exploded.
Well, I'd say it did go. I would disagree with that. It was a pop hit when it came out, and it was an annual favorite, much like Jingle Bell Rock mm-hmm. by Bobby Helms. You know, you play Rock Around the Christmas Tree, but of course, yeah, it certainly became giant at that point. But I would think it was always a top five not country, but pop Christmas record when it came mm-hmm. out. You know, but we're talking 1960.
It was just good to see her. She had a beautiful red dress, and honest to God, she sounded the same
right.
as she did young.
Well, that's it. And, of course, as an adult, it's not so unusual, you know. But when she was 12, mm-hmm. sounding like she was 40, that was pretty amazing at the time.
Right, right. And then Barry Manilow had a show on tonight, too. It was good.
No good.
At least I enjoyed her Christmas show. They don't have many on anymore.
Mm. Yeah, not the way it used to be. They would always have the Christmas specials and all that. But no, that's all.
Yeah.
Yep.
I remember Perry Como had one. And,
oh, yeah.
Oh, I can't think of them all, but there were a lot.
Yeah, and half of them were sponsored by Kraft.
mm-hmm.
Yep, absolutely. All right.
Okay.
Good deal. Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
What did I say? Like, me and Mr. Jones.
Mrs. Jones. Well, that could be an interesting song, too. I'd like to hear that one. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So, yeah, that might raise some eyebrows, but not anymore, actually. Rock Around the Christmas Tree was written by Johnny Marks. And what's interesting about that is that he had also written Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and A Holly Jolly Christmas. And so, there was young Brenda Lee in 1958. And I don't think it went to number one before that movie, but it certainly was played every year from 58. That was about the time Jingle Bell Rock came out, and I think the year before. But in any event, every year you'd hear it. So as far as the Brenda Lee original version, that was really a Hall of Fame group in terms of the session players. Floyd Kramer was on piano, and Boots Randolph was on sax, and Harold Bradley was on guitar, and Hank Garland, too, on guitar. And some Bob Moore did double bass, and Buddy Harmon, of course, on drums. So it doesn't get better than that when it came to the super pickers in Nashville. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Johnny D is going to vote for me, and Karen's going to vote, and Paul and Iroquois is going to vote, and we're going to do some stories with James on the South Side. And of course, tomorrow night will be the final night for voting on the air, and we got to break some ties. So get with it. All right, pick it up right there on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that was the original Gee Whiz, It's Christmas. And Carla Thomas, and she wrote it along with Steve Cropper and some other guy. I forget who, but it was three people, but Steve Cropper and Carla Thomas for the most part. And that was, as I say, 63 on Atlantic. She recorded it two other times, and one was for Stax in 66, and the other was for Gusto King in 79. But that's the original, and I just love that song. And so it's always good at Christmas time that I can play it and not get strange looks. So there you have it. And I'm doing all I can to make it through the next half hour, but also trying not to just inflict anything on you either. So if it gets really bad, we'll just go to a replay. But I think we can do this. And I know that we can do it tomorrow night because it'll be the final voting of the guilty pleasures, and we can't let that go by. So, Paul in Iroquois County, welcome back to WGN Radio. Or did we talk to Paul already? We might have. I don't remember. This is terrible. This is just terrible. Maybe we did. All right, so call me back if we didn't. Rich in Bloomington, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, how you doing?
Not well. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing all right.
Good.
I grew up in a time when rock and roll was kind of the thing, by late 60s, early 70s. Okay. And but there were songs that I liked that were not rock.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad that none of my friends listen to
WGN. Yeah, got that.
Station,
right. Yeah.
At this time of night.
Okay.
So the first one is Song Sung Blue.
Oh, my God. Neil Diamond. Okay.
I think I like it because it's in my voice range
okay. When
I sing.
All right.
Me and Mrs. Jones with someone else just nominated.
Yes, good.
I already had it on my list. But,
good. Perfect.
Yes. Purple People Eater.
Oh, Sheb Woolley. Okay.
Yes. Mm. And believe it or not, I like Michael Jackson's ABC song.
Oh, okay. Absolutely.
Yeah,
fine choices. I think they're great choices, Rich. Thank you for that.
Yes, you're welcome. But I would never admit that to anybody.
No.
Except for you and the station.
No, I understand that. No, you weren't on the air. Rich who? All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Good deal. Yeah, we don't know Rich. Never heard of him. All right, so 888-876-5593. Going to take us to Johnny D. in Ohio. What's happening, Johnny D.?
Hey, Wally. Well, I feel so bad that you're not feeling well.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I want to try something. Put the microphone by your head.
Heel. Yeah, right. That's right.
That's right.
Ernest Angley and the Grace Cathedral. Heel. Yes, I know exactly what you're saying. The part about the Ernest Angley thing that I loved is occasionally somebody would fall over before he hit them. You know, I mean, you know it's rehearsed. It's like, wait a minute, at least let him hit you first. Yep.
I used to work with a guy.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did. I worked with this kid. He's gone now. Mike was his name. But anyhow, we'd be talking to somebody, and then he'd be looking at him like kind of strange, and he'd put his hand on their forehead and go, heel.
I thought you were going to tell me that you worked with Ernest. Now, that I would have really loved.
No. This guy, he was funny. Mike was his name.
Yeah, no,
put his hand on people's heads and say, heel.
Heel, exactly. Yeah. No, I know precisely what you're talking about. And, he was in Cuyahoga Falls.
Who was in Cuyahoga Falls?
Ernest Angley.
I don't know where the heck he was at.
Yeah, he was based in Cuyahoga Falls.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Grace Cathedral, and that was in Springfield Township, southeast of Akron.
I know where them places
right,
are. I'm in one of them. But
that was it. The Temple of the Healing Stripes.
I don't know. Is it in Cuyahoga or is it in Springfield?
Well, the Grace Cathedral's in Springfield, but he lived in Cuyahoga Falls.
Oh, okay.
But
I've been a neighbor.
Well,
is he gone? Is he dead?
Yes, he's been dead since 2021. But the deal in Cuyahoga Falls is he bought the thing that used to be owned by Rex Humbard. Remember the Cathedral of Tomorrow?
How come I never seen it?
I can't imagine. Well, you probably didn't. You know, I for a while had a hobby of watching televangelists, and it's a long story. But in any event, I knew them all, every last one of them. I had a friend who actually
really watched them. Very rarely.
They were hilarious.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Rolly, now you got me because I just got done eating a bologna sandwich with a banana hot, yellow banana hot pepper on it and mustard.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get a stomach upset.
I'm so sorry.
Must be contagious.
Could be. Could be. Well,
listen. So I got a second some.
Okay.
Second.
Good.
What was her name? The girl that laughs?
Leah?
Anyhow. Dancing Queen.
Okay.
And Sundown. Okay. I want a second.
Okay.
And then this song I was going to, it was about a week ago. I forget the girl, the woman that, anyhow, Wildfire. That
oh,
song.
God, yes. Michael Murphy. Yes.
And then I want a second, You're So Vain.
Okay.
I used to like to sing that song because I thought it was about me.
Yeah, that's the idea. It's nice when you get a song that actually has, you know, a mystery to it. It's almost as good as writing a Christmas record because people wondered for years who she was writing about.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about, I was going to ask you because this song was in my head, 25 or 6 to 4.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't want to do that. Well, maybe I will do that as a guilty pleasure because I used to like to do that song. I don't know what other people thought of it, but anyhow. Mm-hmm. And then in it, I'm singing it, and the guy goes, should I try to do some more? And I'm thinking, what the heck's he doing?
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are, and we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio. Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It's Heat Wave. That's the way we always say goodnight. One of my all-time faves. And Keith Wilder from Heat Wave would have been 72 today. Born in 1951 in Dayton. Passed away in 2017. He's 65 years old. Now, his brother Johnny Wilder died in his sleep in May 2006. But the real story for Johnny was just a horrible one in that it was 1979, early in 79, a van broadsided his car, paralyzed him from the neck down, and he remained as such until he died. Obviously, complications of that, born and died in Dayton. But I thought Heat Wave was just the greatest. And, of course, can't diminish Rod Temperton's involvement because he's the guy who wrote all the songs. And I think that Johnny was in the service in Germany when he put out an ad for band members, and I think Rod Temperton answered that. And so it was an unlikely pair, but Heatwave had pretty much been doing things that were cover records. And when Johnny met Rod Temperton and Rod said, I've been writing some songs, you know, suddenly, hey, magic was happening. But yeah, that's the way we always say goodnight. And yeah, rest in peace, the Wilder brothers. So 888-876-5593. I'm talking to Johnny D. And I forget about what.
Well, I was going to give you some guilty pleasure.
Good, even better. Yes, you started to. Yes, Sundown, and yes,
I started.
Yes, so give me
more.
I
gave you some seconds.
Yes.
And I seconded.
Yeah, that's good. That's the best way to do it. But let's have your originals as well.
All right. Well, I mean, I had a case of them. I don't know if you recall, and I gave you about 12 back the other day.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the ones I saved, and I'm hoping that I don't repeat myself. But, okay, Can't You Hear My Heartbeat, Herman Thurman.
Okay.
And I got it. Well, let's see here. Spirit in the Sky. I don't think I gave you that one.
Okay. Is that Norman Greenbaum, Spirit in the Sky? I think.
Whoever, I don't know.
I think it was Norman Greenbaum.
What I got here? Oh, I got to run up here. I got to go up here. I don't know why I did this. Hello, Mary Lou. Goodbye, Heart. Ricky Nelson.
Yeah, yeah. Written, of course, okay, by Gene Pitney.
And then I have, let's see here. Oh, no, not that. My Sharona.
Okay, The Knack. Very good.
Yeah, The Knack. And then, I think I gave you that one. Yummy, yummy, yummy. I gave you that one. How about Mandy? I want to do Mandy.
Oh, well, you're admitting.
Oh, Mandy.
Admitting you like Mandy. Well.
Yeah, I like Mandy.
Well.
And then, what I had? I got Sealed with a Kiss, Bobby Vincent.
Well, Sealed with a Kiss, how about the original Brian Hyland?
I don't know. Oh, that's the one I put down. I got here. I saved it. Bobby Vincent.
Oh, well, the big hit was, and we can do that, but the big hit was definitely, what's his name, Brian Hyland.
Okay, let me move up a little bit here. I have so many of them, Molly, but some, you know, I'm thinking back. Okay. Sister Golden Hair.
Oh, God. Yep,
America.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Sister Golden Hair. And then, Diamond Girl, Sills and Croft. Diamond Girl?
Uh-huh.
And then, give me a notice here. Let's see. No Time to Guess Who.
Okay.
No
Time. Yeah, Left for Me, yeah. Okay.
And then, let me see. I'll give you a couple more. Midnight Confessions, The Grassroots.
Okay.
In there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then The Air That I Breathe.
The Hollies. Oh, yeah.
And then I don't know if I gave you Eleanor, The Turtles.
The problem I'm having is I think you're not embarrassed by some of these records. Remember, the guilty pleasures have to be the one that you'd die if somebody knew you liked it.
I think most of the ones I gave you, I don't want people to know.
Really?
That.
Really? See, I would think you're very proud of Diamond Girl.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, see, you're willing to admit that, but all right.
How about, okay, one more, let's see. I gave you that, I remember. And let's see. Wait. I gave you Venture Highway, I think.
Uh-huh.
I gave you Calypso.
Yes, you did give me Venture Highway. I do remember that.
And then Mrs. Robinson.
Okay. Simon Garfunkel. All right. Fine choices.
And never mind. So then I hope you feel better, Rory.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. I don't want you belling out for tomorrow night.
No, I want to be here tomorrow night. I really do, and I plan to be.
All right.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, I absolutely plan to. And the fact that I made it through this, I realize, and I haven't yet, I guess. I've still got 15 minutes or so. But I realize that I can get through anything. All right. So, put enough waste baskets around me, and I'm happy. Robert and Stickney, welcome to WGN Radio. Robert left.
Hello.
There you are.
Hello.
You are there. All right. Give me your votes, Robert.
Yeah. Okay. I've got it's a song from about 1960. I hate to do this so late. I don't think anybody else probably even voted for it. There was a style of dress called the chemise.
Oh, no, no chemise, please. Oh, my God.
No chemise, please.
Dickie doing the don'ts.
Yeah, I think it was them.
Yeah, it was.
The one of those. This is the first time I'm admitting it.
The guy who did it was a guy named Jerry Granahan, but he did it under the name of Dickie doing the don'ts. Yes.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah, and I remember I went to parochial school. I was in about eighth grade, and, you know, we had where the guys had their uniforms and the girls did.
Yeah.
Well, one of the girls wore a chemise dress. I think the nun had a fit, you know, that time, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Their other big hit was Click Clack.
Yeah. Umbalada-lada Click.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And that was Dickie doing the don'ts, but it was really Jerry Granahan.
Oh, yeah, I remember it clicked like under Dickie doing, and nee, nee, na, 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 noo, noo.
Absolutely. And,
sadly
named himself that to curry favor with Dick Clark, because Dick Clark's young son they used to refer to as Dickie Doo. So he came up with Dickie Doo and the don'ts. And, I think it was Dave Aldred from the Rhythm Orchids in Granahan wrote Click Clack, and, you know, at that point, Dick Clark and Tony Mamarola were heavily involved in Swan. And so, Clark guaranteed it would be played on American Bandstand. Yeah, well, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you have to worry about a tie on that one.
Well, you just never know. Now that you brought it up, maybe people will remember it.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, now is are Thursdays the regular night for a request?
No, any night is a night for requests, except for Monday when the bumpers are part of the bumper stumpers. But you can make a request any time. What do you want to hear?
I know that it's an old doo-wop. It was a group called the Falcons.
Oh, You're So Fine.
Okay. And I think it wasn't Wilson Pickett a member of the Falcons?
Everybody else was too.
Really?
I figured you'd say You're So Fine. That's certainly not the only record that the Falcons had, to say the least.
Yeah.
And that was Joe Stubbs, who was on lead on You're So Fine. But I'll be happy to play. I'll be happy to play that for you.
Okay, Ron.
All right. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Bye-bye.
So, they had a lot of people. They were on Lupine, and You're So Fine was, I Found a Love was a few years later, which I actually like better, but all right, fine. And Joe Stubbs was the lead singer of that, and then Wilson Pickett replaced him in 1960. So I Found a Love, you'll hear Wilson picks it, but the original You're So Fine, well, I'll play it next, and you'll hear it for yourself. All right. So we'll get to Karen in Chicago and James on the South Side, and there's in the waning moments, but we can vote tomorrow, 3 big hours, 10 o'clock Central, right here on WGN Radio.
Bye.
I'm Raleigh James. Well, there it is. You're So Fine. 1958 on Lupine. And I think it actually was a hit in 59. But Joe Stubbs is on lead. Now, yes, Wilson Pink was in the group, but not then. He came 3 years later. But I'll tell you who was in the group when You're So Fine was recorded. Eddie Floyd. Also, Sir Mac Rice was in the group at the time. And Willie Schofield. And Robert Ward. And actually, it was good Robert Ward was in the group because he owned the Lupine label. Yeah, that'll get you airplay, or at least certainly get you pressed. So that's the deal on the Falcons. And I apologize for the way I sound. I didn't expect this to happen. But I promise you by tomorrow night I will be healed. I don't know if that's true, but I'll sound better than this. Because I can't imagine else. All right, so with that in mind, these are the final votes here tonight and tomorrow night. We're breaking a 19-way tie. I don't know if we have. Several people mentioned things tonight, but my tabulator-in-chief, Carol, who knows what she's doing, unlike me, who hasn't a clue, will let me know. And then tomorrow night, I mean, we mean business. I don't want a 19-way tie. Of course, if I get one, probably Christmas night we'll have time to play 19 records as we talk with Steve Bryan, and I'm looking forward to that. So Laura and Willowbrook's got some votes for me. Okay, Laura, let's have them.
Okay, Riley, these are two songs that I just always had to sing when I was a youngster. Like, everybody would be like, oh, God, could you please stop singing? So I'd have to, like, be embarrassed. I'd be like, oh, God, I got to hide.
Okay.
So first one is Let's Get Together.
Haley Mills, okay.
Yeah. And my favorite group, The Carpenters. We've only just begun. Who doesn't love that?
Me. But, I mean...
Yeah, like, everybody, I have to call under the table. It's like, oh, yeah, I really do like it.
Yeah, you like the Crocker Bank commercial song. Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Got
all
it.
All right, thanks,
appreciate it.
Take it easy.
All right,
feel
so,
better.
Thanks, appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593. Yeah, I think there's promise for We've Only Just Begun. It's rooting its way right up the charts. Karen in Chicago's got some votes. What do you think, Karen?
Dancing Queen and Fernando.
Fernando, okay.
I know. When one of the other callers said Dancing Queen, I said, oh, I love that. And then I thought of Fernando.
No, it's good.
Because I kind of like ABBA.
No, I can tell. But no, that's good. I'm glad you seconded Dancing Queen. Maybe we'll see it move up the chart, because after all, this is a cumulative total. So anything you hear that somebody else has mentioned
and
that you...
Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely,
thank
all the time.
So
thank
much.
You. Appreciate it. So that's it for Karen. Then we have... Sherry in Naperville, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
Hey, Sherry.
I think I already probably voted for the Edmund Fitzgerald one.
Uh-huh.
So I'll skip that.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if anybody said, I like story songs. I don't know if anybody said Cats in the Cradle.
Oh, yes. Yes, you can second that.
Okay. I do like Dancing Queen.
All right.
As well, and I do like the Carpenters. I love the Carpenters as a whole. We've only just begun, and I know my favorite part was on my dad, who had a cat. Anyway, he had a 8-track player in his car, and he had 3 Carpenter 8-tracks, and there was a break in one that says, we'll be back, we'll be right back after we go to the bathroom. I love that short 10-second thing.
Okay.
But there's so many that people are mentioning, but a lot of them I'm not, what do I want to say, embarrassed of.
Well, then don't mention them. It's only the ones that you're embarrassed about liking that I want to know.
Well, I'm pretty sure I've already said Sugar,
right.
Sugar as well.
Sugar.
Alrighty. But
all right.
I thought I would help with...
Yes.
I don't know what the... 18 or 19.
Yeah, exactly, but who knows?
You have 19 songs that are all equal?
Yes.
Aye, aye, aye.
So we'll see. Good now, luck. Like I say, tonight will be tabulated by Carol, and then she'll tell me tomorrow night where I am. And that'll be it.
Well, you should tell us the...
I may.
19, so we can break the tie.
Right. You know, I may, but I hesitate to do that because I want this to be, you know, just straight from the heart of you where you're saying, God, I love this song, but I don't want anybody to know it.
Yeah, but we love a lot of songs.
That you don't want anybody to know about?
Well...
No, that's the criteria.
Kind of, sort of. There's some...
That's the criteria.
That were never popular, and I never understood why. Like, sometimes had
No, no, it doesn't count if they weren't hits. These got to be hits.
Right, I understand right. that. But what I'm saying is there are songs I like. Oh, Nadia's Theme. I think I heard that a week ago or so. And I like that because of Nadia Comaneci, even though it was some soap opera theme ahead of time.
And you don't want anybody to know it. And you don't want anybody to know it, right?
Well, I bought the album.
Well, no, I understand that. But, you know, again, where we're after on this, and not only for your edification, but anybody else listening, is it's the ones that you cringe to think that anyone would know you liked it.
Yeah, well, all the Partridge Family, I'm sure, but I know you can't do that. And
well, you could pick one
John
by
Denver,
the Partridge. Yeah.
Please, Daddy, don't get drunk for Christmas.
Okay. You like that?
I love that album. Okay. It's the last album I play when I'm wrapping Christmas presents and drinking.
All right. Good deal. That's the spirit. Thanks, Sherry. I appreciate it.
All right. Okay, you take care.
Thanks.
Love you both.
Okay, good. You too. All right, now, 888-876-5593. And that's going to be the last call is going to be James on the South Side and his 9,832 stories, which are all wonderful, James. So, all right, I've got about 2 minutes left. Entertain the crowd. What were your favorites?
Okay, the first one was like the 13-year-old and a child who they found. They had gone missing and they were in California.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, that kind of scared me a little bit. 13, with a child, and yeah, that I was glad that they were both found safe.
Yeah, no, that part was good. Now, by the way, I don't think anybody can top the woman who pretended to be a Waffle House employee, and none of the other employees noticed.
Oh yeah, okay. I've come across a couple of lottery ones that are basically just simply wow.
Oh yeah, that
there's
one
like a 44 million where apparently nobody turned in the ticket by December 11th.
Yeah.
And now the 80% of the money that would have been that was set aside basically for whoever would have won is now going to the state's general educational fund.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I guess actually this is a win.
Well, but it's a heartbreak to think of the poor SOB who's going to find this ticket somewhere in one of his coats in a couple months. But anyhow, you've ended the night, and I'll talk to you tomorrow, I hope.
Okay, right. You take care.
Thanks, appreciate it. All right, and we thank Adam for keeping us on the air. I thank John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. Until tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.